We are going to let Andy introduce himself. He is with Accessible Pharmacy, and he'll explain what that is. We'll open it up for questions after he tells us all that they do. Turn it over to you, Andy.
Thanks so much, Judy. Share with you, for those of you who are not familiar with us, I'll tell you a little bit about who we are, what we do, how we came into being, and how we started the company. For those of you who have heard our pitch before, heard our explanation before, heard our story before, we do have some new updates and some really exciting things that we're doing in 2023. My name is Andy Burstein. I am with Accessible Pharmacy Services for the Blind. I'm actually based here in Philadelphia. For those of you who are familiar with Philadelphia, I'm in beautiful West Philadelphia, right on University of Pennsylvania's campus. So Accessible Pharmacy Services for the Blind is a home delivery pharmacy service. We specialize in patients who are blind, deaf-blind, and have low vision. We're the only provider of its kind, and we're the largest blind-owned healthcare company in the country. Everything that we do as a company is about merging healthcare and accessibility. You know, it's all about identifying the individual. You know, every person is unique. Everyone comes to their blindness differently. Everyone experiences their blindness differently. Everyone has other issues and experiences in their life that impact their ability to manage their medication and manage their diabetes and do so with as little stress as possible, because taking medication to manage diabetes is stressful, to do it independently and ultimately live healthier lives. And that's what we do as a company. And what's pretty cool is that our company is relatively new. The idea is about 5 years old, but we launched our company in April 2020, like right at the beginning of the rage of the pandemic. Fast forward to today, we now have about 65 employees. 25% of our staff are blind themselves, and we're growing. And our growth comes from a few areas. We're growing geographically. We're currently licensed to provide services in 32 states, plus DC and Puerto Rico. So we're growing geographically. We're adding new states. We're growing through patient growth. You know, every day, we actually add new patients to our model. But most of our growth, the most exciting growth, is qualitative growth. It's growth that we have because of the experiences that we have working with patients and because of the feedback that we get from our patients and from the healthcare providers who we work with and the nonprofit organizations, you know, organizations like the NFB, government agencies, OVR offices. We engage with our patients about, tell us, like, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What other things could we be doing? What other services could we be providing? How could we be more accessible? And every time we interact with a patient, every patient is unique. And every time we help a patient overcome a personal challenge of theirs, when it comes to medication management, diabetes management, healthcare management, we learn from that experience and we grow as a company. And we're able to take that knowledge and plug it into other patient situations. So when the next patient calls us and says, I have problem A, B, and C, we can say, oh, we actually just worked with a handful of patients that had similar experiences. And these are some of the things that we tried with them and some of the things that worked. The new patient can then, you know, try some of those solutions and hopefully get to a point where their medication management, diabetes management, healthcare management is easier. It's an ongoing work in progress. So our patients are not only patients and receiving information from us, our patients actually guide us and help us grow as a company. It's really incredible to be part of it, and it's incredible to like observe it as it grows and blossoms. I'll share the background of our company. The idea started about 5 years ago. I have a friend, Alex Cohen. I know Alex through Little League. Our kids play ball together. And I did not know Alex too well. Our kids were on a few teams together. He was a nice guy. We live near each other. Our kids are friendly. And Alex is blind. That's all I knew about Alex. So I was at the time, I was running a healthcare marketing firm. And we were trying to get our arms around just accessibility in general so that we could share the information and knowledge with our clients. And our clients were, you know, healthcare systems, hospitals, independent physicians, veterinarians, dentists, the pharmaceutical industry, medical device industry. And so we were like playing with technology. We were doing a lot of reading. We were doing some consulting in the space. And one of the things that we were trying to do were like interact with individuals who had different disabilities and different experiences in the marketplace so that we can, you know, gain some knowledge and pass it on to our clients. I had this idea. I was like, oh, I'm going to reach out to Alex from Little League and see if he wants to meet up for a coffee or a beer and sort of pick his brain about his experience, you know, as a blind man, as a parent, just navigating healthcare and just retail in general. So I shot him an email. We met up for a cup of coffee and I got to hear Alex's story. Alex was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa in his teens. Alex is 48 now. I'm 53. So Alex, at 17-ish, he was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa. He always wanted to be in the hospitality industry. His uncle was a resort manager in the Caribbean. And growing up as a kid, every like spring break and winter break, they would go to his uncle's resort and they would live it up in the resort in the Caribbean. And he was always like, when I grow up, I'm going to run a resort too. So Alex went to school at UNLV in Las Vegas. And while he was taking his class and, you know, at UNLV, he was also working part-time in the casinos, in the hotels, really trying to get hands-on experience in the industry. By the time he turned 25, he had lost all of his usable sight. And he realized there weren't too many opportunities for blind hotel and resort managers. So he moved back to Philadelphia and he ultimately earned a PhD from Drexel University. And he wrote his doctoral dissertation on the accessibility of the American marketplace for consumers who are blind. And so here I am thinking like, I'm going to hang out with Alex. We'll talk about our kids. We'll have some coffee. I'll pick his brain a little bit. Little did I know that Alex is arguably the foremost expert in the country on accessibility at the retail level, at the healthcare level, at the business level, for consumers who are blind. And so this one-time cup of coffee became a regular occurrence. Our kids went to school like two blocks from each other. So we found a cafe like sort of like right in the middle. So like once a week, every other week, we would drop our kids off at school and we would meet up for coffee. And we would just brainstorm different ideas. We became really close friends. I would argue like Alex is my best friend at this point in my life. Quite often we would share ideas about the marketplace and then reconcile them with his research. When it came to healthcare, Alex really helped me get a deep understanding about his own personal challenges, managing his healthcare and his kids' healthcare, but also like, you know, just the marketplace from his research about, you know, the challenges that exist when it comes to scheduling a doctor's appointment, ending up in the emergency room, navigating a pharmacy, managing medication, managing nutrition, managing, you know, exercise and behavioral health and everything that touches healthcare. You know, while he explained to me that through his research, he identified, you know, there are some great companies throughout the United States that are doing some really incredible things when it comes to accessibility in healthcare. There was no one really doing an A to Z model, basically saying like, all right, what do we need to do to empower individuals who are blind to manage their healthcare, to manage their medication, to manage their diabetes, to do it with less stress, to live independently and manage it independently and live healthier lives. Don't forget, this is pre-pandemic. We need to get some knowledge because this is a cool idea. Like, are we the only ones thinking about this or are other people doing this? We held some focus groups with adults who are blind in Philadelphia just to get their feedback. And we learned a lot from them. And we drove to Baltimore and spent a day at the NFB national headquarters. And met with a great, you know, collection of individuals there who were very generous with their time and their feedback and their insight about, you know, what really exists in the marketplace and some of the ideas that we had. And they validated our idea. Like no one was doing what we were proposing, you know, which is that concept of merging healthcare and accessibility and identifying every single touch point that we have with a patient and making it as accessible as we can make it. And knowing that the pursuit of accessibility is not like, it's not like you don't stop. You're like, that's it. We're accessible. You know, it's an ongoing pursuit. We learn every day about things that we can do to make things more accessible. So Alex and I decided to write a business plan, right? We're like, okay, what would it be like if we build our own business model, A to Z, embracing accessibility and healthcare and took a model to market. We ended up bringing our third business partner onto our team, Dr. Jason Barrett. Jason has his doctorate in pharmacy, and we ended up collaborating with Jason for a few reasons. One, Jason spent the first 25 years of his career as a pharmacist focusing on medication management solutions for individuals with cognitive and intellectual disabilities. And so when we met up with Jason, he was like, I can figure this out. He goes, I'm dealing with challenges that are much more difficult, you know, for individuals. He goes, I need to learn about, you know, the blind community and the experiences. He said, but there's no reason why we can't start the process of assembling solutions to empower individuals to manage this stuff better. And so Jason, Alex, and I, we launched our company in April 2020, like smack at the beginning of the pandemic. We plowed forward As I mentioned, we have now 65 employees. 25% of our staff are blind, including a great deal of individuals who are very active at the national, at the state level with NFB. What do? We do everything that a traditional pharmacy does from A to Z. What makes us unique is how we wrap accessibility around it. And everything that we do that makes us accessible, there's no charge for it. We make our money by being reimbursed by insurance companies. In some states, we get support from the state themselves through different prescription assistance programs, different aging programs, a multitude of programs. And we've just recently started getting some support from nonprofits and foundations as well. Everything that we do that makes us accessible, things like our home delivery, our accessible packaging, our accessible labeling, accessible support, accessible education, there's no charge at all for those services. As I mentioned, we provide everything that you can get at a traditional pharmacy, things like prescription medication, over-the-counter medication, vitamins, supplements, nutritional supplements, everything in the diabetes space, glucometers, continuous glucose monitoring systems, syringes, insulin, medication, and so on and so forth. We also are able to provide guide dog and pet medication packaged and some accessible packaging and labeling. We focus on a few different things in the company. We focus on accessible support and education. What do I mean by that? Accessible support is, unlike the traditional model where you go to your physician, you get your prescription, and either you walk out with a prescription sheet or they call it into the pharmacy and then you have to go to the pharmacy and pick it up, or they just mail it to you from the pharmacy. For us, it starts with a conversation. We need to learn about the patient. As I mentioned, everyone is unique. There's no one-size-fits-all model. It's personalized medication. So it starts with a call to us. Once the call happens, we take care of everything else. We interact with the insurance companies to confirm eligibility. We'll contact the prescribers to get all the information. And we'll make sure, we almost function as like a concierge liaison to your healthcare team, right? So on that call, and it's usually like a 10, 15 minute call, that first call, you know, we'll ask a bunch of questions like, you know, who are you? What is your level of eyesight? What other kinds of health issues are you dealing with? What are you doing that's currently working with your medication? What are you doing? What are you struggling with? What's, you know, hasn't worked for you in the past? Who else is at home with you? Like, are you managing just your healthcare? Are you also managing other people's healthcare, children, spouses, partners, husbands and wives? Is someone else taking care of your healthcare? Do you still have a level of vision that empowers you to, read, you know, labels? Are you comfortable with Braille? Are you comfortable with technology? So we learn all this information and we get to work. And it usually takes us about a day or so. We'll call the insurance company. We'll reach out to prescribers. Our pharmacists will review all of your medication. And as a side note, it's interesting. We find that about 50% of the time, new patients are taking a collection of prescription medications, but are also taking vitamins and supplements and, you know, other types of other foods and herbs that people think are benign. And quite often we find that those benign things are impacting the body's ability to absorb medication and impacting the body's ability to get the benefit of the prescription medication. So for example, someone may say, oh, I'm getting a medication from my cardiologist and my endocrinologist and my ophthalmologist and my general practitioner, and I'm taking a multivitamin, and I'm taking fish oil, and I'm taking these herbs that my cousin told me about, and a root that my neighbor told me about because it's supposed to be good for my skin. And all that's wonderful. But quite often, as I mentioned, the combination of all of these medications and the combination of some of these additional supplements can cause some problems. So we can make some recommendations with your prescribing, with your prescribers, about how to tweak the meds and tweak some of the herbs to get the maximum benefit, the maximum healthcare from the medication you're taking. So as I mentioned, that usually happens on the telephone. It can happen a few other ways as well. We are the pharmacy partner of Be My Eyes. And so on Be My Eyes, there's two ways to interact with Be My Eyes. You can, you know, connect with a random volunteer, but there's also a specialized help section. And in the specialized help section, we are their pharmacy partner. And we use Be My Eyes a few ways. One, to engage in this initial conversation, but two, we help our patient. We help patients with home COVID tests, pregnancy tests, training on how to use devices like new glucometers, continuous glucose monitoring systems, injecting medications, pouring liquids, pill identification, label understanding, et cetera, et cetera. It's actually something we're building with Be My Eyes. And I noticed there are a handful of people here from Ohio. I recognize some of your names. We just kicked off an amazing program with the state of Ohio, where we can do like really deep dives to help people navigate home COVID testing and understand the test, execute the test, understand the results. And we're looking to expand that model even more with Ohio and duplicate that model in other states so that what we're doing with Be My Eyes and the state can really help people manage medication and their healthcare in general at home. All right. So it can happen on the phone, that conversation on Be My Eyes. We do work with a great deal of deaf patients, and we're very comfortable communicating through VRS. Some of those of you aren't familiar, there's a cool federal program called Video Relay Services. I'm oversimplifying this, by the way. Video Relay Services. And Video Relay Services is essentially a on-demand sign language interpreter model. And so, the way it works is that, you know, if I, you know, I'm looking here, I see Nancy is the top corner of my thing. If I were deaf and I wanted to contact Nancy, I would pull up my computer or my phone. I would contact one of these ASL interpreters. It's fully funded by the federal government. I, as a deaf user, would sign to the interpreter who would call Nancy and say, "Hey, Nancy, I have Andy on the phone. He's deaf. I'm going to translate for him." And we would have a much more fluid conversation. We also do work with a great deal of deaf blind patients, and we're very comfortable communicating through email or text, and even just communicating to figure out like, hey, does that person still have some hearing? Do they still have some sight? And figure out the best way to communicate to that person. So that's our first pillar, accessible support. Within the support pillar, we also provide accessible education. I'll come to that in a little bit at the end of my conversation. Our second pillar is accessible packaging. This is an ongoing pursuit. We're always trying to identify new kinds of packaging that can help individuals manage their medication and organize their medication easier. So for example, we have traditional bottles, all shapes and size bottles, including ones with childproof lids, but also oversized bottles with pop-off lids. So for individuals that, you know, may have arthritis or Parkinson's or just struggle opening up those teeny childproof bottles, we can send oversized bottles with pop-off lids. We have pre-sorted disposable pill organizers. So rather than you getting all your medication and having to organize it yourself in one of those plastic pill organizers, we have different size and shape organizers, depending on the quantity of medication you take, the amount of times during the day you take your medication. And we can sort all of your meds.
Consideration of the blind.
Yeah, we can sort all of your meds, in that pre-sorted device, devices. We also have individual daily packets. Individual daily packets are, for those of you who are, we have the same machine that Amazon has for pill pack. It's essentially a 2-inch by 2-inch plastic baggie. It comes in a strip, a perforated strip, and we put all your meds for that time of the day or day of the week, you know, in that strip, and we send it to you in a disposable dispenser box. We also have single liquid doses. Try to follow this. Single liquid doses of infant medication so that parents who are blind, grandparents who are blind, babysitters who are blind can safely administer medication to young children without the challenges related to pouring, measuring, and administering the medication. So we currently have 5 remedies there. We have it's all over the counter. We have infant acetaminophen, infant ibuprofen. We have a cough remedy, a stomach remedy, and an antihistamine. It's like a 2-inch by 2-inch tube. It's like a light plastic. You rip the top off and you just squirt it in the kid's mouth. It's awesome. We're looking to expand that model as well. So those are our different kinds of packages. And then on top of all of our packages, we also have a collection of free accessible labeling. And it's up to the patient's choice. You could try different things until you find something that works best for you. So for example, we have traditional text labels, okay? We're able to print our text labels in 200 different languages. I'll come back to that in a second. There's a pretty cool story here. 200 different languages. We have oversized font labels for those who still have some vision who would benefit from a large font. We have black labels with white letters, white labels with black letters, depending on if that would benefit a patient. We have braille labels. We have grade one braille embosser and a contracted braille embosser. We have a collection of audio labels. labels that actually read medication out loud. So we currently have, 2.5. I'll explain that in a second. We work very closely with Script Talk. It's from a company called Envision America. And they're like pioneers in this space. They started making talking labels like 20 years ago. It's essentially, for those of you who aren't familiar, it's a sticker that has a microchip embedded in it. And what we do is we upload the medication information to the microchip, add it to the package, and either using a free app that you can download or a free device that we can send you. It's about the size of a clock radio. You simply scan the package and it reads the medication information out loud. And I'm going to turn my speaker up here. I'm going to demonstrate a Script Talk label. Hold on 1 second.
Washington medication lisinopril 2.5 milligrams. Instructions: take one tablet by mouth once daily for blood pressure.
All right, you all get the gist of it. Yeah, and it goes on and it ends up telling the full story of the medication. And you can hop around from section to section so you don't have to, you know, listen to the, if you're trying to find drug interactions or instructions, you don't have to wait for the entire story. There's another company we work with that makes audio labels called, the company's called Way Around, and their product is called WayTag. I'm not sure if anyone here is familiar with it, but it's a home labeling system. It's really cool. It was started by a blind man and his daughter. He lives in Texas. I think she lives in Massachusetts. Really cool family. And they have labels that you can, you know, put on boxes or cans of food in your cupboard. They have washable labels that you can put on your clothing. And simply using an app, you scan it and it says, you know, this is chicken soup. Or it says, you know, this is a red sweatshirt. We're now able to put their labels in all of our packaging as well. And finally, we've been developing something for a while. We're almost there with the Helen Keller National Center and Apple to develop a label. It's a tactile label that gets added to a package. It's designed specifically for deafblind individuals. And it can convey that medication information three ways. If the individual still has sight, it'll appear in text in large font on their phone. If they still have hearing, it'll read it out loud through VoiceOver. And if they're dependent on VoiceOver, if they're completely deaf and blind, it can extend seamlessly to a Braille display where the individual can get all their medication information. So we're looking to finalize that and get some of the kinks out of it this spring. We're going to be holding some focus groups, hopefully, at the Helen Keller National Center up in Long Island, and really trying to figure out how we can make that tool, that labeling system, really valuable. So those are our labeling solutions. And we're still in pursuit of additional ones as well. I mentioned I had a side story about our text labels. It's interesting. Because of the work we do with the blind community, I guess about 3 months ago, we got a call from a group affiliated with the Pennsylvania Department of Health. And she was like, hey, we heard about you guys. We heard about the things that you're doing with the Department of Aging and blind residents of the state of Pennsylvania. Her story was that the state of Pennsylvania, this group in particular, is responsible for 1,200 refugees and asylum seekers. And she said the challenge we have is there's a whole collection of individuals within this group that not only do they not speak a word of English, they're also illiterate. And she's like, can your talking labels read medication out loud, you know, in these different languages? And so what started off as a solution that we've been embracing for the blind community, we're now building out to support individuals who don't speak English. It's really cool. So we're doing a pilot program in Pennsylvania, and then based upon it succeeding, we're planning on rolling it out nationally. We're having a lot of fun with it. So those are our three pillars: accessible support, accessible packaging, accessible labeling. As I mentioned, all those things I just spoke about are free. We encourage our patients to try different kinds of packaging, different kinds of labeling until they find something that really works for them. I also touched on our diabetes stuff. We are proficient and knowledgeable and experienced in working with individuals who are diabetic. 53% of our patients do have diabetes. I think this is a national statistic also, but it is true for us. Most of our patients who are blind have come to blindness through diabetes as well. And so we have diabetes specialists on staff. We are also in the process of building out a much deeper collaboration with the University of Pennsylvania's Diabetes Education Center. We've been working with them closely for about 2 years in a lot of different ways. We do training for state OVR offices, low vision therapists. But we also started running a collection of diabetes webinars focusing on different topics. And so our goal is to ultimately get to a point where we not only can support a patient who's diabetic with medication and insulin and glucometers and syringes, but the University of Pennsylvania can add to that and really support patients with nutritional education and exercise education, and to some extent, behavioral health and how it connects to diabetes as well. So we're pretty excited about that. They're really passionate, incredible people there too. So everything related to diabetes. A few other things of interest, things that we're working on. We run a college internship program. We've been doing it 3 years in a row. It's actually funded through a grant from the New York State Commissions for the Blind. And we get our interns from Visions out of New York City. And our interns are blind college students who want to pursue careers in either business and or healthcare. And it's pretty cool. This will be the third year we're doing it. We bring students in who want to pursue careers in business and or healthcare. And the first year we were a little like, we didn't know what to do. We were a little apprehensive, but we ended up like throwing them in the deep end, and we exposed them to, marketing and market research and business strategy and medication and the pharmaceutical industry and healthcare and patient support and quality assurance and basically everything that we do as a company, these students do, including public speaking. We ran a cool webinar with Perkins School 2 summers ago with one of our students talking about how college students who are blind can adjust to the transition in college. We actually spoke with some of our college interns at the NFB National Conference virtually. And it's awesome. So this year we're looking to actually add like more interns and continue to build that program as well. We've been featured in a lot of, we're the only ones to do what we do. It's pretty cool. We've been featured in a lot of in the New York Times, in the LA Times, in the Chicago Tribune, ABC, NBC, NPR, Pharmacy Times. Interestingly, if anyone's interested, there was a feature article written about us in the New York Times. It's an older article at this point. We've actually grown a lot as a company, but if you Google New York Times Accessible Pharmacy, there's a cool article about us, really about how we got started. And it was actually the article was written and featured in their health section, and then it was also republished in their science pullout about a month later, which was really kind of cool. We've been the recipients of a few awards, and it's not like we need awards, but it is really nice to be acknowledged for the work that we do and validated for the work that we do. So one of the cooler ones was that we won the federal government's award for advancement and accessibility in healthcare. We won with Apple. And that's actually how we got connected with Apple and started exploring projects with them. And I don't want to exaggerate that. Like, obviously Apple is a $1 trillion company. We're a small teeny company in Philadelphia, and they have 5 billion employees, whatever, but they're awesome. And we're grateful for any work they do. Interestingly, the person from Apple, the engineer who invented and developed VoiceOver is blind himself. And so the things that Apple is doing with healthcare is actually like, it's mind boggling. It's really incredible, specifically targeting, but as they build it out, the team is incredibly sensitive to how it impacts the blind community. And so it's pretty cool to observe. We won the Helen Keller National Center's award for the work that we do just last year in December, in the fall, for the work we do with the deafblind community. We won the Viscardi Center's award for accessibility achievement, which was pretty cool. The Viscardi Center is they're headquartered in Long Island. They have locations all throughout New York. We also won the Vision Center for Blind and Vision Services. I'm messing up that title, but Visions out of New York City. For the work we do with their interns and the work we do in New York City to empower blind consumers and blind individuals. Finally, education. This is an area we're really trying to ramp up this year. We run a series of educational webinars that are free. They're actually archived on our website. Our website's accessiblepharmacy.com. It's a very screen reader friendly website. It has large fonts on it. We also have a toll-free number. I'll add it right here to the chat. So please call us. There's no strings attached. Call us. If we can help you, we'd love to help you. So some of the webinars we ran in 2022 included, the first one we did last year was focused on breast cancer information for women who are blind. And the story behind this is my wife is a breast cancer survivor. And, you know, thank God she's okay. But, you know, going through the experience with her, identifying her cancer, the surgery, the treatment, the recovery, you know, everything related to it was incredibly, first of all, it's terrifying to begin with, but it was also incredibly inaccessible. And I remember that the first time we, when she was diagnosed, you know, they handed us a folder with a bunch of printout sheets in there about what we should do. And that was the resource that the doctor had. And so we ended up connecting up with her radiation oncologist who, she's the one who actually saved her life. She diagnosed her mammogram very early on in the cancer. And we were able to get some treatment and surgery. And thank God Sharon's okay right now. We did a few things. We ran a webinar that our director of women's health about different medication solutions, treatment solutions. But Dr. Kim Kubek, who was the radiation oncologist, we created a 5-minute oral explanation for a woman about how to do a self-exam. And it's actually become the default in the blind community for women of all ages about how to do a self-exam to identify imperfections and potentially cancer. So it's on our website. We encourage you to check it out and please share it. It's really important. It's important to us. And it's important to society. So that was our first webinar. Our second webinar, we ran a program actually with the Chicago Lighthouse, head occupational therapist, and their head low vision therapist to focus on, you know, strategies for administering eye drops. Administering eye drops are tricky. I don't take eye drops. I use Visine every once in a while when my allergies get bad. And my strategy is like the same strategy I've been using since I was 16, which is basically tilt my head back and squirt and hope that at least one drop ends up in my eye. That's fine if you're 16 years old with a cold or allergies. But if you have prescription eye drops that if you end up adding too many drops to your eyes can cause serious health problems, run the risk of missing too many and running out of eye drops before your insurance company will pay for the next batch. These two cool women from the Chicago Lighthouse actually broke down from their experience all the different strategies that they use and they recommend to their patients for how to use eye drops. So if you do use eye drops, check it out. It's about a half hour webinar. It's awesome. We did run a series of diabetes webinars last year, ranging from just diabetes strategies, nutrition strategies. The one that got the most attendance was the executive director from University of Pennsylvania's Diabetes Education Center ran a very objective webinar about the comparison between some of the continuous glucose monitoring systems, primarily the Freestyle Libre and the Dexcom. But she did also touch on Medtronic, you know, breaking down how the devices are different, some of the different features they have, and most importantly, some of their accessibility features. We ran a really cool program at the beginning of December, which it was the first ever virtual blind health expo. We work with so many different groups, nonprofit organizations, you know, groups like this, healthcare providers, government agencies, consumers, caregivers, product manufacturers, the pharmaceutical industry. Unfortunately, we find that, you know, everyone's doing great things, but a lot of time these groups don't talk to each other. And we were like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if we brought everyone together to share ideas, to learn from each other? And so the way we decided to do it was let's launch a virtual health expo where we have virtual exhibitors and individuals can come and learn from those groups. The exhibitors can learn from each other. And so we started pushing out this information like the end of the summer. The event was on December 2nd. We ended up having 118 exhibitors, including national NFB and a few groups within NFB and a few state NFB affiliates. And we had thousands of attendees. So much so that the event was on a Friday. We had so much traffic coming to our website to register on the Monday before that our website crashed. But by Wednesday, it was up and running again. We were fine. And it was awesome. And we're looking to build upon that next year to have, we'll probably do it as a 2-day event, a Friday and a Saturday. Because some of the feedback we got was that there were people at work that couldn't attend the live sessions and the live interactions with the exhibitors. We're going to have an award ceremony for healthcare providers that do things in the blind community. We're hoping to have more and more exhibitors. If anyone goes to our website, you'll get the updates on it. It's free to attend. It's free to exhibit. You know, our goal is really just pure collaboration and knowledge sharing. So we hope that everyone will join that. If you are working with us, if you are a patient of ours, if you're a healthcare provider who we work with or who refer patients to us, thank you. If you're not a patient of ours, and if you love your pharmacist and you love your pharmacy experience, stay there. That's awesome. If you don't, give us a try. And just simply like on Monday, just give us a call. Let us know what you're doing, how you're managing your medication, who your insurance is. We'll come back to you with some suggestions. And if you think the suggestion would benefit you, you can try us out. There's no strings attached. If a few months down the road, you're like, yeah, you know what? I like my CVS, my Walgreens better. Just call us. We'll notify your insurance company. We'll contact that CVS or that Walgreens. We'll transfer all the files back. All we ask in exchange is that you let us know why. Fortunately for us, it rarely to never happens. Patients who join us really realize that like the things that we do are unique. You know, we're a blind-owned company and everything that we do is focused in this space. My personal email address is Andy, A-N-D-Y, at accessiblepharmacy.com. So please email me. I'm not a healthcare provider, in full disclosure. So I can talk business stuff. I can, you know, share some ideas. If it's a healthcare issue, I'll pass it on to the appropriate person on our team who will follow up with you.
Bernie, you got a question, sir?
I use an independent pharmacy that packages up my prescriptions in these little pillows. I have a little package for breakfast time and a little package for lunchtime. Can you do a similar setup?
It's like a little like 2-inch by 2-inch like plastic. Oh, absolutely.
Also, I've had bariatric surgery. Do you carry any protein shakes?
Yes. I'm not sure if we have this specific brand that you like. And with protein shakes, a lot of times it is related to like flavor because a lot of them do provide the same levels of protein. Call on Monday and we'll find out if we can get it for you and get it for you at the best price. We don't sell a lot of protein shakes, so you may be able to find it less expensively somewhere else.
What about vitamins? You know, there's a lot of junk out there. So I just want something. I'm 60 plus. I want something that's going to help compensate for either what I'm not getting through diet or...
Oh, absolutely. We have a full range of vitamins, including like hard to find like nutritional supplements and vitamins. Yeah, vitamins are important. In fact, some vitamins you think like, oh, I have a deficiency in vitamin C or I'm not eating enough foods with vitamin C. I should get a supplement. There's also some vitamins that can actually help the body's ability to absorb medication. This is a vitamin and supplement that I take personally. I have high cholesterol. I take a statin. And there's a vitamin that I take that was prescribed by our pharmacy. It's over the counter. It's like $3 a month for a month supply. But what it does is it helps my body absorb my cholesterol medication so that I get the best result from it. And as I get older, instead of having to like increase the milligrams of my prescription meds, basically this will actually help my body absorb lower doses of the prescription meds. Our pharmacist can help you like have a conversation with that about the vitamins and how it relates to any prescription medications you have as well.
Yeah, because you mentioned fish oil. There's some folks who should not take that.
The answer is yes. Simple example. My mother-in-law takes Coumadin, which is a blood thinning prescription medication. She's not allowed to eat broccoli. There's an enzyme in broccoli and a vitamin in broccoli. It's actually vitamin K and then another enzyme that if she eats broccoli with her Coumadin, there could be massive complications. So something as simple as not only like identifying vitamins, but like really having a conversation about nutrition as well. And some of the foods that everyone eats, you know, how do those foods interact with medication and your body's natural thing? That's one of the things we're hoping to do with Penn is build out our nutritional support to be able to help patients. Yeah, there are foods and vitamins that can actually do more harm than good, even though you think like, oh, it's healthy. It's broccoli. Oh, it's fish oil. This is good stuff. It can actually be problematic. With my cholesterol medicine, I'm not allowed to eat grapefruit. And the reality is, I don't think I ever cared about grapefruit at all. Now I crave grapefruit like it's like the greatest fruit in the world because I can't eat it. But to reinforce that, yeah, there are a great deal of foods, vitamins, and supplements that can not only undermine the efficacy of the drugs, but can actually do harm to the body.
This is Judy. Well, I take warfarin, which I guess is the same thing as Coumadin, I think. They said I could eat broccoli, but then I'd have to change the dosage.
Gloria and then Bernie.
All you have to do is tell Siri to call Accessible Pharmacy that it knows the number. So anybody who wants to call you doesn't have to look up a number, just has to ask Siri to call Accessible Pharmacy. It's that simple.
Alexa and Google, Bernie and then Liz.
Regarding these pill packs, I don't even know what pills I take. They send me the pill packs and then they send me all the print slips. I don't read Braille or print.
We can actually put one of those audio labels. Do you get it in a dispenser box?
They come in a sheet and little plastic things and I tear them off.
So check this out. We send ours in a dispenser box and it's chronological. So it's it's on a roll in a perforated strip. The first one out will be your morning meds and then the next strip will be like your evening meds or whenever you take it. On that box, we can put the Waytag labels or the Script Talk labels.
This is Liz. I love the service. I really hope you guys are coming to Texas soon, but we've been sharing your webinars and I participated in your accessible pharmacy as an exhibitor. So thank you for
Liz, thank you so much. It's awesome. Yeah, we have a lot of friends in Texas and we're keeping our fingers crossed. The background of this is one of our pharmacists needs to get licensed in Texas. So it's a process. This poor guy, Eric, who works for us, thought he was done with his pharmacy boards 20 years ago. And now we signed him up to get relicensed in Texas. We should be there hopefully this spring.
Do you have Spanish support since you're in Puerto Rico?
Yes. We have the ability to do text labels in Spanish, audio labels in Spanish. We have people in our office who speak Spanish, and we also can provide like on-demand translator services if it's beyond the skill set.
Oh, that's so great. I've seen insurance be very resistant. For example, I have a friend who has EpiPens and she wanted to get a talking EpiPen and they wouldn't let her and she had to really fight. And I've seen them even fight against talking glucometers. Just to clarify, your accessible pharmacy can help kind of mitigate that with insurers if it's accessible technology that you need?
We function as an advocate on behalf of the patient to the insurance company. And so we represent the patient. There's no cost for this. Like, we'll call the insurance company and explain, as opposed to like a consumer calling up the 800 number, right? And talking to a customer service person, we're talking on the other end. When we explain the situation with the patient, we are able to advocate differently than a patient advocating for themselves. That doesn't mean that we always get the best results, but we find that we are able to get approval for the coverage. Interestingly, in addition, in some states, and we're looking to expand these relationships in other states, we do work with the prescription assistance programs at the state level. In Pennsylvania, it's funded by the Pennsylvania Lottery. There's about $1 billion a year that the Pennsylvania Lottery generates to pay for co-pays, prescriptions, and devices. And we just started, Hetlioz just went generic. But there's still that the co-pays are still like a gazillion dollars. There are a bunch of foundations and nonprofit organizations that will help subsidize and pay for co-pays. And in our research and learning that, we're finding that some of them also support other therapeutic topics and medical issues, including everything in the diabetes space. So we're literally ramping up and learning about it. We've been doing it for like 2.5 weeks now. But our hope is that when we're in full stride and we have a patient who's like, I need a glucometer, just for argument's sake. And we've done everything, but our insurance company will not pay for it. We may have access to state funding and foundations that will, if not fully cover the cost, significantly subsidize it.